This is taken under advisement, and the court will proceed to the second case of the day, Adams versus Bartow. Mr. Arena?
May it please the court. My name is Sam Arena, and with me is David Simon. We're the attorneys of record for the appellant, Reuben Adams, and we're appointed by Judge Patricia Gorenz of the Eastern District of Wisconsin to represent Mr. Adams on a pro bono basis, and we've reserved 2 minutes of rebuttal time. Mr. Adams is currently being civilly confined pursuant to Chapter 980 of the Wisconsin statutes based solely on the fact that he has committed prior sex crimes and has been diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder. And it is for this reason that Mr. Adams' confinement is in violation of federal due process principles and is contrary to and an unreasonable application of existing Supreme Court precedent, particularly Fuchsia versus Louisiana, Kansas v. Hendricks, and Kansas v. Crane. Essentially what this case comes down to is antisocial personality disorder coupled with prior commission of a crime simply is not sufficient to sustain a finding for civil confinement. If Mr. Adams' confinement were found to be constitutionally permissible, it's really difficult to imagine a sex offender who would not fall within the reach of any sexual predator statute, such as the one at issue.
Hasn't he also been diagnosed as one? Well, in all probability, continue this activity, therefore dangerous.
Yes, but, there's evidence that he has committed past crimes, and
doctors make that finding too.
Yes, the doctors made that finding that he had antisocial personality disorder, and also that this antisocial personality disorder was sufficient under the statute,
and that he will, in all probability, continue to commit the crime.
That's what they did find.
Yes.
Yes. But our point here is that antisocial personality disorder, for a disorder to be sufficient under Chapter 980, or any sexual predator statute for that matter, it needs to specifically predispose someone to commit acts of sexual violence. And antisocial personality disorder is a very broad category. At the state proceeding, Dr. Diamond, one of the state's witnesses, stated that a person with antisocial personality disorder is an excitement seeker, one who's prone to break rules, one who shows very little remorse, and this typifies the criminal recidivist. That's exactly what I would think would be the death.
But Mr. Reed, didn't Dr. Diamond also specifically hone in on Mr. Adams and say that Mr. Adams, is a risk and it's highly probable that he would recommit and offend? In other words, I appreciate your comment about the overarching aspect of this point, but he did he not, that is the doctor, Dr. Diamond, specifically make an assessment of Mr. Adams?
Yes, I think you're correct to the point that, he made a finding that he would commit acts in the future and
sexual acts
yeah. Even. But I think then we need to look at what the court in Kansas v. Hendricks said, and they said that the disorder at issue must adequately distinguish those persons from other dangerous persons who should be more properly dealt with in criminal proceedings. And I think the important language there is the word dangerous, because it doesn't say just anyone who, that it has to adequately distinguish that person from anyone who's properly dealt with under criminal proceedings, but for dangerous persons. And what exactly is dangerous would be someone who would more than likely commit crimes. And we have to look at really what the purpose of these statutes are. The purpose of these statutes are to get people who are virtually certain to commit sex acts because of some sort of mental disorder that warrants civil confinement and Coupled with that, it's to seek treatment. And really, there's no effective treatment for antisocial personality
disorder. Didn't the court also go beyond to say that there was sufficient basis for the jury to conclude that Adam is dangerous because his disorder makes it likely that he will further engage in acts of sexual violence? They made that specific finding. The court made it, didn't they?
The jury did make that finding, right. But our point is not really on what the facts were, but that antisocial personality disorder, as being such a broad category and as basically opening the door to confining any sex offender, because the definition of antisocial personality disorder is, like I said, someone who's prone to break rules, someone who doesn't respond well to authority, doesn't learn from past mistakes, and that's your typical criminal recidivist. But these, we have to remember, these sexual predator statutes are designed to seek treatment and also to civilly confine those individuals who show a very high propensity to commit sex acts in the future. And we do not feel that this category of antisocial personality disorder suffices under federal due process. For example, in Fuchsia versus Illinois, the Supreme Court, I think, made it very clear in a case, mind you, dealing with an insane acquittee, but the court said that prior commission of a crime coupled with antisocial personality disorder is not sufficient under federal due process principles, and said that basically the disorder has to bear some reasonable relationship to the reason or the purpose for which the individual committed.
Well, is your position that the Wisconsin court then didn't have a basis for its dangerousness finding?
I'm not saying that it didn't have a basis for a finding of dangerousness, because I think, going back to the language in Hendricks, dangerousness alone is not sufficient. I mean, they said that it has to be the disorder issue must sufficiently or adequately distinguish persons from other dangerous persons. And this disorder, as a general disorder, and not some sort of paraphilia or a specific sexual disorder, it simply does not meet the standard in Hendricks. And I think the court also made clear in Fuchsia that...
Well, let me just read you what we have from the Court of Appeals opinion, okay, which I'm sure you're familiar with. The court noted the evidence and said, of Adam's history of sexually violent crime, history of non-sexual crimes, and antisocial behavior, failures under the court-ordered supervision, denial of responsibility, refusal to participate in sexual assault treatment programs and drug-alcohol treatment programs, and his sexual offense recidivism. Now, while I'm sure there's a degree of subjectivity in all assessments, medical and otherwise, could they be a whole lot more specific in under this statute than that? I mean, don't we have a particularization of the case of Mr. Adams?
Well, I think even with the court's findings that you read there, that it's not necessarily basically all the findings that the court stated there still go back to antisocial personality disorder and what it is. It's someone who shows a little remorse and doesn't respond well to authority. And it is your typical criminal recidivist and your typical person with antisocial behavior. And I think that the crux of all the findings are based solely upon these prior commission of crimes coupled with the antisocial personality.
Doesn't the Fuchsia case also say that a civil commitment of an individual is improper absent a determination of current mental illness and dangerousness, which is what the court found in Adams?
So
you're misinterpreting Fuchsia.
No, because I think Fuchsia, you said absent of a determination of mental illness.
Right.
And
dangerousness.
Right.
Which they found in Adams.
Well, and what we are saying, though, is that the mental disorder at issue, well, actually the disorder at issue, I will not call it a mental disorder because it is a personality disorder. And we are saying that Fuchsia stated that there was not a mental illness, because all they could show under that situation was that Fuchsia had antisocial personality disorder.
And they didn't show that he was dangerous.
Right.
Right. And that was shown as the Adams.
Yes, it was shown. But at the same time, I'll go back to the language in Hendricks that a finding of dangerousness alone is not sufficient.
Do you want to reserve a little time?
Yes, I've reserved 2 minutes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Green. Ms. Wellman.
Thank you. If it pleases the court, I am Assistant Attorney General Sally Wellman, representing the respondent appellee in this case. The state is not confining and the jury did not find Mr. Adams to be a sexually violent person under Chapter 980 solely because he had committed a past sexual offense and he currently has an antisocial personality disorder. We didn't rely on that alone. We had to prove and did prove beyond a reasonable doubt to the jury, although that's not constitutionally required, our statute requires it, that his mental condition, regardless of its label, his mental condition had certain effects on him. One, it affected his emotional or volitional capacity, and it predisposed him as an individual to engage in acts of sexual violence. And three, the mental disorder causes him to be substantially probable to engage in such acts again. That is much, much more than just saying this person happens to have an antisocial personality and has committed a crime in the past. I just don't see how on the record and under the terms of our statute, which we define mental disorder virtually the same as Kansas defines mental abnormality that was at issue in Hendricks and Crane, I don't know how you can reasonably say that we're committing him solely because he has a personality disorder and he has a past crime. We have to show the effect of that antisocial personality disorder. We have to show the same effect whether he has a paraphilia or a pedophilia or schizophrenia or any other kind of mental condition. Moreover, Fuchsia did not hold that a state can never constitutionally civilly commit a person if something labeled antisocial personality disorder happens to be the name or nature or label of his mental disorder. It did not hold that. It held that in Fuchsia, the state could not continue to hold him because it had shown no constitutional basis to hold him. He was committed originally because he pled insanity based on a temporary psychosis. By the time of the reexamination and his wanting to re-release that issue in the case, the expert said he no longer has that mental condition. So, of course, substantive due process says if you no longer have the mental condition for which we committed you, we can't continue to hold you. Moreover, the state could not rely on his condition that currently had been diagnosed as antisocial personality because the state said that's not a mental condition that qualifies for commitment under any of our statutes. They didn't say we can commit him under a certain statute, besides which they never had a mental commitment hearing for antisocial personality disorder. They'd never given him any due process on that. And they couldn't hold him because he was dangerous, regardless of the mental disorder, because the statute put the burden of proof on him to show he's not dangerous to get out. Due process requires the state to prove by clear and convincing evidence that he is dangerous and has a mental disorder. That's what Fuchsia is about. And to take the fact that he happened to have what is labeled antisocial personality and say that means no one with antisocial personality disorder can ever be civilly committed regardless of what else the state proves is just a contrary reading of Fuchsia. I also do note, go ahead.
Under the statute, do you have to show that the propensity, as you put it, or the predisposition, or as you put it, the effect on his volitional capacity is caused by the psychiatric condition? Is there a causality requirement in the statute?
I would say yes, although because the statute says we have to prove, and let me find the exact words of the statute to make sure that I answer accurately. A mental disorder is defined, which is what we have to prove, means a congenital or acquired condition affecting the emotional or volitional capacity that predisposes a person to engage in sexual. So I would say because it says that predisposes him, it means it has to be the mental condition that is predisposing him. I think that's the only reasonable interpretation. And it also has to be the mental disorder that makes him dangerous, because it makes it substantially probable that he will engage in such acts again.
The implication of your colleague's argument is that an antisocial personality behavior disorder simply is not going to produce this kind of a result. That just doesn't happen. It's just too broad, too amorphous a category or condition to produce this kind of thing.
Well,
I mean, the next thing you're going to be doing is walking here and saying, you know, that a character behavior disorder is enough.
There
that basically means somebody's a bad boy.
In this record, there was uncontradicted expert testimony that has never been challenged in any court as being unreliable or inadmissible expert testimony, that for this individual, as he manifested his antisocial personality disorder, it did affect his emotional and volitional capacity, and it did predispose him to engage in these acts. So I don't know how we can say that it can't do that. We have unqualified expert or uncontradicted expert testimony saying it did.
In Wisconsin, under your rules of evidence, do you have an analog to our Doebert case?
No, we do not. It's a reliability only, relevancy test.
So the trial judge in the state courts really doesn't act as the same sort of stringent gatekeeper as with respect to junk science?
I would definitely say it's not. We do not have the same level of stringent gatekeeper
so
for any
like
scientific
this,
evidence.
Situation where you could get a psychologist coming and saying he's got an antisocial personality disorder and I think it could cause all of this stuff, and the jury's going to get to hear that whether or not the trial judge is convinced or that this guy is well within the range of normal psychologists.
Well,
I mean, we've all seen psychologists in criminal cases who come up with some pretty wild theories.
We have, on both sides of the table.
Right.
But I will note that at trial, although he could have, Mr. Adams never presented any expert or any treatise or any writing of it from any expert or medical book that says antisocial personality disorder cannot have this effect.
So that might help you here on this habeas. But whether that would help you on a facial attack on the statute is another question.
Well, all I can say to that is that our statute has been attacked facially. It was upheld by the Wisconsin Supreme Court both before and after Crane, most recently in a case called State versus Laxton. And the United States Supreme Court just denied cert in Laxton last Friday, January 10th. So, for what that's worth, I mean, obviously it's not directly relevant to the habeas review. We do also note that certainly to the extent the court was inquiring that this case is different from Fuchsia because of the dangerousness finding, that there's no question that the state proved that there is a substantial probability that Mr. Adams will engage in, is substantially probable to engage in acts of sexual violence because of his mental disorder. And again, I think we have to go back and look at how mental disorder in our statute, how closely it is defined with mental abnormality that was upheld in Hendricks and reaffirmed in Crane, with the understanding that when you prove those things, it's almost impossible to imagine that you would have a person, that you could prove had a mental disorder that so seriously affected his emotional and volitional capacity that it actually predisposed him to engage in acts of sexual violence. And moreover, it caused him to be substantially probable to do so, not just maybe or might, substantially probable and yet say that person doesn't have any difficulty controlling his dangerous behavior. He does, and it was proven in this case, not just because he's a repeat offender. We do not confine every person who would be eligible under the statute purely by their the name of their offense. For example, everyone who's committed a sexually violent offense, only a very, very small percentage are actually committed under our statute. We are not using the statute to confine everyone who might have antisocial personality and who has committed a sex offense. The statute doesn't allow us
to. Who may bring the petition for committal?
I'm sorry?
Who may bring the petition for committal?
Either the, our office can, the Attorney General's office can, and I believe in some or all situations the District Attorney of a county also can.
Only public officials?
Oh, yes, only public officials.
Is Dr. Sandberg...
Excuse me. Sorry.
That's all right. Takes another, you want
to... I'm okay.
Okay. Is Dr. Sandberg, who's a psychiatrist at Mendota Mental, a state employee?
Yes, I believe, I'm sure he was at that time.
Dr. Diamond, I assume, is, right?
Yes, I think Dr. Sandberg was employed at the actual mental health institution and Dr. Diamond at Corrections, but I'm not positive.
Yeah. Is it, does the state, to the extent you're familiar with Ms. Wellman, use state physicians as opposed to outside physicians to make these assessments?
Primarily, although not exclusively, we can go outside, and we have in some situations. And, of course, the defense has a right to an independent expert.
But did they employ one in this case?
I do not. I know they didn't present one as a witness. I can't say for sure they didn't do an examination. I don't recall.
Okay.
I don't know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Wellman. Mr. Arena?
Yes, one point I would like to make very quickly is on in Hendricks, Justice Kennedy's concurrence, which was the deciding vote, stated that if a disorder is too imprecise of a category to offer a solid basis for civil confinement, that existing Supreme Court precedent would not suffice to validate it. And the reason being is that if we allow general disorders such as this to be the basis for civil confinement, then what we have is the statute not serving its function as seeking treatment of individuals, but serving more of a general deterrent or retribution purpose. And that's what Justice Kennedy warned of in his concurring opinion in Hendricks. Said that if it's too imprecise of a category, such as to make it a tool for general deterrence or retribution, then we have serious due process issues. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Our thanks to all counsel, and Mr. Arena, to you and your colleague and the law firm for a special thanks for ably representing Mr. Adams in this appeal. A case is taken under advisement.